Please join me in Gassho. Gassho only. Not becoming lost in my greed, anger, and ignorance, I shall think and act with an open mind, just like the calm and peaceful Buddha. Musabori ikari orokasa ni nagesarezu. Shinayakana kokoro to furumae o kokoro gakemasu. Kokoro yasuraka na hotoke sama no you ni. Namman dabutsu, namman dabutsu, namman dabutsu, namman. Morning, everyone. Minasan ohayou gozaimasu. For those who I haven't had the opportunity to see yet this year, I wish you a happy new year. It's great to be here. It's great that we have the lights on today because I got a call yesterday. Yesterday morning, I got a call. It was one of those automatic calls. It sounded very official. This is PG&E notifying you that due to an unpaid balance, your electricity will be disconnected in 30 minutes. I was like, what? And I called the number, and I was a little bit skeptical. And so I gave them, they said, you know, they're like, oh, can I ask, you know, who's calling? What's the account? And I said, well, can I give you the phone number? And then can you tell me what the account is? And so I gave the phone number here at the temple, and they said, oh, San Mateo Buddhist Temple. And I said, okay. And so then they said, oh, can you give me the address? You know, we have a technician in the area who's going around turning off the power for everybody who hasn't paid their bill. And so I thought, oh no. So immediately I texted Victor and Jeff. I was like, is this right? Because we always pay our bills on time. And they're like, well, let me check. And then they wrote back and they said, okay, you know, bill's been paid. And so I asked this person, I said, so, you know, where are you located? Like, oh, we're at the headquarters. He says, oh, where is the headquarters? And he's like, oh, you know, the headquarters building. It's like, well, where is the address? Click. Hung up, right? It was a scam. I was so mad, right? Because, you know, I'd been tricked, but also, you know, this person had kind of, you know, I felt like they were like threatening the temple. You know, I was worried that, you know, we're not going to have power for service this morning. And, you know, something is like, suddenly I don't get mad that often, but I was like, you know, somebody kind of, you know, threatens the temple. That really made me mad. Really made me feel like, oh, you know, not only me, but, you know, the people that I care about, this community that means so much to me. And so I felt, you know, sort of my anger kind of rising up inside of me. And so, you know, today we're thinking about the pledge again and these words from our Gomonshu, the leader of our Buddhist tradition, who says, not becoming lost in my greed, anger, and ignorance, I shall think and act with an open mind, just like the calm and peaceful Buddha. Right? And so this is kind of what we endeavor to do day to day in our lives, and it's not always easy for us. Sometimes something happens and we find ourselves getting angry, and that anger rises up. And so who do we look to for guidance? Who do we look to help us to be like this calm and peaceful Buddha in our lives? And we can look to the example and the teachings of those who have come before. In this month of January, we particularly look to one teacher in particular. We have a very special service this month that's coming up next week. Does anyone know what the special service we're having next week is? The special service for the month of January? I'll give you a hint. It sort of sounds like Santa Claus. Ho, ho. Ho onko, that's right. Ho onko. And what is ho onko? What is the ho onko service? Ho onko. The Shinran Shonin Memorial Service, that's right. So can anyone show me where Shinran Shonin is? It's a couple places. You can point in one of two directions. Let's see. Yep, that's right. Over on this side to the right of the Buddha image is, we have a beautiful portrait of Shinran Shonin. There's one other place you can see him here at the temple. Oh, yep, his name, Kenshin. That's his name that was given by the emperor, Kenshin Daishi. Emperor Meiji bestowed that honorific name on him. There's one more place that you all, that's right, people are pointing to the back. You all walked past Shinran Shonin when you came in. And what does Shinran Shonin look like? What is he when he's in here? He's in the hondo. He's nice and comfortable. But when he's outside, what's he wearing? Shinran, Ryoma, what do you see? He has a big hat, right? And what's he carrying? He's carrying a stick. Why do you think he's carrying that stick? Why does he have that big hat on? It's a walking stick, right? He was a traveler. He traveled a lot. And with his first journey, when he first set out on this journey, he didn't really feel like going out on a journey. He didn't feel like leaving home, but he was forced to go out on a very, very long journey from Kyoto all the way to Echigo no Kuni, which is what's now in Niigata. He had to travel to the coast of Kyoto, and he had to get on a boat and travel up the coast on a boat, right? So he took this long journey, and he didn't want to go. He was actually forced to go. He was kicked out of Kyoto, him along with his teacher Honen Shonin and many of Honen Shonin's other disciples. So why did they get kicked out of Kyoto? Because the emperor said so. And the reason the emperor said so is a very interesting story, and it has a lot to do with anger. Has a lot to do with anger. Because the emperor had many girlfriends, let's say. He was a popular guy. And he had two girlfriends in particular that he really, really liked because they were beautiful musicians. Their names were Suzumushi and Matsumushi. Suzumushi and Matsumushi. So that's like chirping insects, right? But they had the sound of a cricket, like the cricket, Suzumushi, the beautiful sound. Right? And so they had beautiful singing voices that were like a cricket, right? Very calming, very peaceful, and the emperor loved to listen to them sing. And one day, the emperor had to go out on a business trip. He had to leave and take a trip. Does anybody here have family members who go on business trips once in a while, or anybody go for once in a while? Yep, they have to go on a business trip. You go out, you travel. So the emperor had to go on a business trip. And he couldn't take all of his friends with him. He couldn't take all of his girlfriends with him. So he left by himself. And he left Suzumushi and Matsumushi there, the imperial palace. And the emperor was gone, and they were bored. And so when they were bored, they decided that they would go out and see some of the sights of the city. And they were walking through the city. They were walking through the eastern part of Kyoto. They were taking a nice walk, and they heard this beautiful melodic chanting they'd never heard before. They'd never heard this kind of chanting. It was very unique, very original. And they were kind of drawn in to the sound of this beautiful chanting. And what was being chanted was the Ojo Raisan, which we chanted here all last month. This beautiful melody of the Ojo Raisan was being chanted. And they were moved and they were inspired. They were musicians. And they thought, this is beautiful music. We would like to learn to chant this beautiful music. So they joined this group of people who were chanting. They listened to this. A big crowd had gathered. And they were listening. And there were two monks in particular who were leading the chanting who had beautiful voices. Their names were Jurenbo and Andakubo. And so after the chanting finished, we can imagine that Suzumushi and Matsumushi, they went and they approached these two monks who were leading the chanting. Beautiful voices, young, handsome monks. And they said, please, can you teach me to chant like this? And they said, sure, you're welcome. Everyone's welcome in our community. And they said, really? But we're ladies. Normally, ladies aren't welcomed into Buddhist temples. How can you have a group that welcomes ladies and men? It says, well, our teacher, Honen Shonin, he welcomes everybody. He welcomes wealthy people like you, but he also welcomes the very poor. He welcomes people who are of very high status. He also welcomes people who are shunned, who are kicked out of other places. Everyone's welcome. He welcomes men and women because he teaches a very simple teaching. He teaches the Nembutsu. He teaches that if we entrust in Amida Buddha, say these words, Namo Amida Butsu, that we'll certainly be able to realize enlightenment through the working of the Buddha's compassion. Men and women alike, equally. And so as they listened to this teaching, as they listened to this chanting, they thought, this is a wonderful life. This is a wonderful way to live our time here in this world, together in the Nembutsu. So they said, could we stay here? And could we become nuns and be part of this temple? And Andakubo and Juden-bo did something very brave. They said, sure, of course. And they gave these two women, Suzumushi and Matsumushi, they had ministered the precepts. They helped them to shave off their hair to become nuns. They gave them the robes of a Buddhist nun. And Suzumushi and Matsumushi became members of this Buddhist community, the students of Honen Shonin. They joined this group of people that welcomed everyone. So they enjoyed their time here, and after a few days, the emperor returned home from his business trip. And you know what he had really wanted to do the whole time he was gone? He wanted to hear the singing of Suzumushi and Matsumushi. And so he came home and he said, oh, this is wonderful, oh, good to be home. Took off his traveling robes, chained into his beautiful, you know, embroidered brocade robes for hanging around the imperial house. And he said, please summon Suzumushi and Matsumushi. I'd like to hear their singing. And they said, oh, actually, you know, they went out a couple days ago and we haven't really seen them since. Right? He says, well, where are they? We're not really sure, but we kind of heard that they've been hanging around in Honen's community. He says, well, find out where they are. And so they sent out his, you know, his imperial investigators, and they came back and they said, actually, Suzumushi and Matsumushi are now Buddhist nuns. And they now live in the community with Juden-bo and Andakubo, who gave them the precepts and enabled them to leave this world. Now, when you become a Buddhist monk or a nun at this time, you completely leave the secular world. You're untouchable then. You've completely left the world. So they became very free, in a sense, because they no longer had to follow the emperor. Now they were followers of the Buddha's teaching. And this was respected by emperors and everyone alike. But this particular emperor, Emperor Gotoba, he was not very happy about this. Because people had been telling him for years, this Honen guy, he's bad news. His teachings are very disruptive. His teachings are going to confuse everyone. They're going to disrupt this calm and peaceful social order because he welcomes everybody, men, women, people of high class and low. Our society is based on very orderly separation of men and women and people of low class and high class. Everybody's mixing together in Honen's community. It's not a good thing. It's not safe. So other Buddhist monks were saying, this is bad for Buddhism, you should stop Honen. Up to this point, the emperor had a good relationship with Honen because Honen was considered to be the wisest Buddhist teacher in all of Japan. So he was respected by the emperor and he was cared for. But in this one moment, when he realized that his girlfriends had been stolen by Andakubo and Juden-bo, his heart turned. He became lost in his anger. He flew into a rage. And he said, okay, this has got to stop. So what did he do? He stripped Honen and all of Honen's leading disciples of their monastic credentials. He took away their monk's robes and said, you are no longer monks. You are now just ordinary people. He gave them all ordinary names. Ordinary names, not the special names they had like Shaku Genku or Shaku Zenshin. They all just became normal everyday people again. And once you're a normal everyday person, you can be punished, right? So he actually had poor Andakubo and Juden-bo, he sentenced them to death. He said, these two can no longer continue to live. Other disciples, Honen, Shinran, Bencho, Honen's other disciples, were sent into exile. And they were sent all over different places. Bencho was sent all the way down to Kyushu. All the way down to Kyushu. Honen was sent to Shikoku. He was sent even off the island of Honshu into a separate island. Shinran was sent up to Echigo. And so the goal was to completely bring a stop to Honen, his teaching, and his community. How do you think Honen's community felt about this? They were sad, but they were also angry, right? They felt like me when I felt like someone was threatening the temple. They go, oh, they got mad. Our teacher, our sensei, is being sent away. Right? What are we going to do? And so just before Honen was to leave, they were distraught. They were so concerned. They went to him and they said, what can we do? What are we supposed to do? You're being sent away? You're not a young guy anymore. Honen was almost 80 at this point. They said, you're an old man. You're being sent away. We're concerned about your health. We may never see you again. What are we supposed to do? They were so mad. And Honen, he responded to them. He said something very interesting. The first thing he said was, you are not to resent or be angry about this exile. So don't be angry about this. He said, I'm almost 80 years old. Even if I were to stay here in Kyoto, even if we were continue to be together as teacher and students, I'm not going to be in this world much longer. Right? He said, even if we're separated and we don't meet again in this world, do not doubt that we will meet again in the world of the Buddha's enlightenment, that we will meet again in the Pure Land of Amida Buddha. He said, even though we cling to this life, for all of us, death may come. So why should we insist that we have to be in this one certain place? And he said, also, moreover, I've been here teaching the Nembutsu here in the capital for many years, but I've always wanted to go out into the countryside and share this teaching with the farmers who work the land, with the common people. And now I'm able to do it. I've been too busy up till now, but now I get this opportunity to go and share the Nembutsu all over the countryside. And so he said something very interesting. He said, this is due to the benevolence of the emperor. Everybody else is so mad. And what does Honen say? He's thankful. He's grateful to the emperor for giving him this opportunity to go and to share the Dharma out in the countryside. Right? And so Honen had this wisdom. He was not carried away by his anger. He was not filled with resentment and frustration about this. He said, this is my life, this is my situation, and he was thankful for this opportunity to go out and to share the Nembutsu. And his other disciples followed his example. Disciples like Bencho and Shindan Shonin, they also had this change of heart. Their anger was transformed through the wisdom of the Nembutsu, through Honen's teachings. And so what did Shindan do? He went out to Echigo and he did just what Honen had suggested. He went out and he lived among the common people. And he shared the Nembutsu teaching with the farmers. And he became so close to the farmers that when they were moving and immigrating from the Echigo area, famous for growing rice, they eventually moved into what is now the Tokyo area because there was a new government being built, the Kamakura government. And they needed more farmers to grow rice because they were building a new city. And all of the farmers that Shinran was living with were moving into this Kanto area. And so Shinran followed along. And so this exile, this being sent away from Kyoto, was the thing that caused Shinran to become the traveler and to go from place to place, sharing this Nembutsu teaching. Now Shinran never forgot that they sent him and his teacher into exile. When he wrote the Kyogyo Shinsho, his major work, he completed it when he was late in life. And he continued to revise it. And the last chapter, the last section, he begins by saying, in the year 1207, the emperor and his advisors, having lost their way, confused, and in contradiction of the right Dharma, they suppressed the Nembutsu. So he remembers it. Throughout his life, he says, never forget this was done. So he still remembered it, right? But after he says that, and I'm sure as he remembered that, he remembered, oh, the frustration of that time. But he concludes with these words. He says, on seeing a bodhisattva perform various practices, some give rise to a good mind, and others a mind of evil. but the Bodhisattva embraces them all. So when people saw the Nembutsu teacher, the Nembutsu practice, they saw this teaching that embraced everyone. Some people thought, wow, this is a wonderful teaching. Like Suzumushi and Matsumushi, they joined this community. Others thought, this is terrible. This needs to be stopped. And Shinran Shonin, he says, but the Bodhisattva embraces them all. Everyone is included. Everyone is welcome in this great compassionate heart of the Nembutsu. So when this anger rises up, naturally we get angry. I get angry. We all get angry. But we can follow Honen's example and take a step back. Think about things in perspective and recognize that this time that we live in this life is short. There's no use be filling our life with anger and frustration, but let us look to the opportunities to share the compassionate wisdom of the Buddha. Honen said, though people may try to prevent the spread of this Dharma, the Dharma cannot be impeded. The vow of all Buddhas to liberate sentient beings is deep, and the commitment on the part of the various deities who protect the Dharma is sincere. Why would we allow ourselves to be influenced by worldly disdain and conceal the true meaning of the sutras and the commentaries? So Honen Shonin said, always remember what is true and real in your life. Hold to your principles, live with integrity, but don't allow yourself to be carried away with anger. And this is the way of living in the Nembutsu. When the challenges and the difficulties of life come at us, we look to the Buddha's compassion. And we can take Honen and Shinran as our model to allow our anger to be transformed into the wisdom and compassion of the Buddha. So in conclusion, I'd like to return to these words of our pledge, which we've been reflecting upon this past year, which we'll continue to reflect upon in this year, 2020. Please join me in Gassho. Not becoming lost in my greed, anger, and ignorance, I shall think and act with an open mind, just like the calm and peaceful Buddha. Musabori ikari orokasa ni nagesarezu, shinayaka na kokoro to furumae o kokoro gakemasu. Kokoro yasuraka na hotoke sama no you ni. Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Thank you.